Thank you for downloading the Culture Club podcast. This week, my guests were the composer Patrick Hawes and the bass baritone Bryn Terval. Well, I'm really pleased to welcome Bryn Terval, the renowned bass baritone, to the Culture Club this afternoon. Bryn, thank you very much indeed for coming in. Now, you're singing Tevye in the Broadway musical Fiddler on the Roof at Grange Park Opera. It opens on Thursday and runs until July the 3rd.
Yes, correct.
Now, Grange Park Opera, I think it's a glorious venue. Can you describe it for someone who perhaps has never been there?
Well, first of all, you get a nice journey up to the glorious 19th century houses that are there. Of course, it's like a country track up to a farm, which I'm used to, in a sense, with my 4x4 vehicles. So I don't get shaken about as most probably some people might in the next month or so. But if it's an al fresco experience within an amazing concept began in the late 80s by Wasfikani, I have sang a couple of recitals there for her, but yes, this is the first time that I've actually performed a wonderful piece. And she, as I've mentioned before, came to me at the Royal Opera House after I had been stabbed by Angela Gheorghiu in the second act of Tosca, and her first idea was Fiddler on the Roof, and I said yes. Might have been a moment of incredible eureka thoughts by her, because in the meantime I've of course learnt the role and we've rehearsed it now for 6 weeks, and I think it's been a magical experience. So, turn up there and make sure you have dinner.
Ah, lovely. So that's all part of the experience.
Yes. I wish I would have thought of that concept myself when I started up my own festival in Wales, to have an actual structure where you can build something within it.
And it's set in a 19th century orangery, I think, isn't it, with about 550 seats. And
it's within the wonderful...
That sort of Palladian villa. I mean, it is quite magnificent.
It's Romanesque in its way, and it's Lord Ashburton's land, of course.
And the red plush seats have all come from Covent Garden, haven't they?
Yes, those were the seats that were rather close together. I was seated the other night listening to a couple of friends of mine singing in La Boheme. Mm. And I thought those Royal Opera House seats are rather comfortable. But I have been inside the house. It's so quaint and quirky.
Yes.
And incredibly interesting. And so it's like performing an evening of songs. So the audience will be so close to you. And still with a wonderful orchestra. We had a Zitzprobe the other day running through the piece. It's exciting.
Yes.
We went to the Watford Coliseum. I've never been there in my life. And interesting instruments like an accordion and a mandolin and beautifully orchestrated to all kinds of voices.
Now, you're sporting a magnificent beard.
Thank
which
you.
Has definitely got the seal of approval from me and my producer. Now, presumably you've grown that specially for the role of Tevye.
Well, definitely. I was a month ago, you might have noticed I was singing Sweeney Todd, and it would have been a tad useless to have a beard performing that role. And it's taken 5 weeks for this monstrosity to grow. But I prefer this to actually having things being stuck on my face.
Yes, I could imagine that could be a bit of a nuisance or a fear at the back of your mind that some of it would start to peel off or
definitely.
Just be
and
unpleasant.
Of course, Tevye is on the stage all the time.
Yeah.
So I would have no chance to even take out the super glue.
Well, on that note, Bryn, I think we'll go to one of your recordings, because I've chosen two of yours, some of my favourites, to play on Classic FM this afternoon. And here you are singing the Pearlfishers duet by Bizet alongside Andrea Bocelli. The Pearlfishers duet by Georges Bizet, sung by my guest this afternoon, Bryn Terval and Andrea Bocelli, with the London Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Barry Wordsworth. Now, you mentioned just now Sweeney Todd, and you were singing, of course, with Emma Thompson, who was a guest on the Culture Club not that long ago, and She's just wonderful. I mean, she's so funny, a real force of nature and very quick-witted. You must have had a lot of fun working with her.
I'm glad you said that, because that's a perfect description. Although, I would add that she can sometimes floor you with a sentence. She's incredibly clued in to everything within her profession and most probably everybody else's as well.
Mm.
We had a week before we went to New York to do the Sweeney Todd for the first time. Just her, me, the music staff, the director, up in West Hampstead in the space that English National Opera used to rehearse. So we did all our scenes before we even got to New York, and we got to know each other. Of course, I had to sing as loud as I could, just that she could know the dynamics of a performance that I would give. And, of course, I learned something incredible in her timing. Her dialogue, of course, is wonderful. Even helped me with the role of Tevye and the things that she said.
That's interesting.
I cornered a couple of the singers, Philip Quast as well, to talk through a couple of the monologues. I had to take my chance.
Yes, of course.
I agree with you. She's a force of nature. Incredible. And I do hope that's not the last time we performed this Sweeney Todd, because it brought so many different people into a building that maybe they'd never been to before.
Yes.
What were the figures? I have no idea, but I had heard 60% of the audiences were new to the English National Opera. So
that's,
I think,
wonderful.
John Berry did his work.
Yes, I mean, that's so heartening. That's really good. And you hope, of course, that those people will come back and try something else.
And I've got to add, I invited six leaders of operatic houses to come and see this in New York, and one turned up. And that's the one that got it to his house, John Berry, because in the end, Emma Thompson was champing at the bit to sing Mrs. Lovett again, because she did all the hard work of learning it.
Yes, of course.
Spent in excess of 6 months homing in on the character.
Is there a role that you haven't sung yet that you would really like to tackle?
Yes, there are a couple of roles. Next year I'll be within Boris Godunov in the new production at the Royal Opera House. I'll be singing in Russian for the first time in a whole piece. Of course, I've sang one Russian aria, Prince Igor's aria. So that's a language that I need to start working on now. But I think the category of roles that the bass baritone voice can sing is, of course, the catalogue is huge. And towards the end of my career, maybe I'll turn more towards Donizetti, Rossini. But at the moment, I'm pretty happy with the boxes that I've ticked.
Yes, I mean, it's very wide-ranging, isn't it? I mean, you started off, say, with Mozart, and now you're in the middle, I suppose, of your Wagner period, as it were, and then you're doing musical theatre as well. So it's actually very interesting to hear you say that you might end up with Donizetti.
Well, there's never a reason for what I've chosen in my career. It's purely what the opera houses wanted to bring into their houses. You know, the Royal Opera House decided to do a new Ring cycle. I was the one that was asked to do it. I was very fortunate. I sang the speaker in the Magic Flute in Brussels 20 years ago, and Gerard Mortier was about to move to Salzburg to be an intendant there. He liked what I did in those two pages, and I was there for the next 8 years, singing in Salzburg every year with some wonderful conductors like Sir George Scholti, Riccardo Muti, Claudio Abbado. I have to pinch myself. Really.
Tremendous experience.
Yes, well, very lucky.
We're going to hear you again now. You're singing Shenandoah, and this is with the orchestra at Temple Square and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That must have been an extraordinary experience to sing with them.
Well, considering that 70% of the choir have Welsh heritage, yes, it was incredible.
Well, let's hear you now. That was Shenandoah, sung by my guest this afternoon, Bryn Terrible, with the orchestra at Temple Square and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. The conductor was Mac Wilberg. Bryn, I'm interested in the whole process of how you go about learning a role. What's your starting point?
Listening to it. And then I have three or four recordings of a different piece. Then it's all about repetition for me in the music room, singing it constantly. Then it becomes a part of your life. You're singing it in a car. For instance, with this Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof, not much music written by Jerry Bock, but what was written was absolutely beautiful. Of course, the iconic If I Were a Rich Man. But what clothes Tevye is most of his dialogue. So that was something that was with me for quite a while. Something different. It's a challenge. And yes, I would say repetition. I remember once leaving North Wales and putting Die Walküre on in the car and singing along with a different act I'm involved in. I got to London, the opera still hadn't finished.
Of course.
It gives you this expansive, broad musical repertoire that I do have. But once that hard work and dedication is completed, style interpretation, all the wonderful team that you have around you, you know, I listen to these golfers, to these tennis players, they have teams around them.
Yes,
you know,
a whole
they're
retinue.
Very important, be it physical or mental.
Yes.
Or I have coaches, I have language coaches, I have a singing teacher. You know, I have people that I go to, that I trust and admire.
And in the hours leading up to a performance, how do you keep calm and focused?
I'm very calm. There's nothing much that's ruffled my feathers, apart from maybe one performance of the Brahms Requiem in the Musikverein in Vienna, with the Vienna Symphony Orchestra and Claudio Abbado conducting, and it was live to Southeast Asia, to millions of people. And that was, we were all performing it memorized, the choir and the two soloists, myself and Barbara Bonney. And that was a kind of kick in the backside of what tension and nervousness can be all about. And I hadn't really fathomed what kind of experience this kind of performance is. But I went through it, and Claudio thought I was pretty good. So I was pretty happy.
But inside, you were feeling
incredibly nervous, yes.
Yes.
But I've been singing since I was 10 years old, and I've been adjudicated in different competitions in Wales, in the Eisteddfod. So it's a wonderful stage for you already. So before I got to the Guildhall, although the voice wasn't very good, it needed to be trained. I needed to learn about languages and repertoire. And I was very lucky with the teachers that I was given at the Guildhall. I worked hard. I was in the library for quite a while. And, you know, that's a recipe that might help you towards moving along in such a career.
Now, I know you're a huge Manchester United fan, and I just wondered if there's a part of you that would swap all the opera houses in the world for a chance to play alongside Wayne Rooney and score a goal at Old Trafford.
No, I know. I'll stick to the opera houses, I'm afraid. I might make a tremendous fool of myself if I put on a football kit.
Well, at least they've got Champions League football next season, so that's something. They're back in Europe.
Yeah, I think that's what Louis van Gaal had in mind. Yeah. So it'll be interesting what players they'll bring in.
Bryn, this has been great fun. Thank you very much indeed for coming in. It's been a real pleasure. And I should just add that you're singing the role of Tevye in the Grange Park Opera production of Fiddler on the Roof, and that opens this Thursday. Oh, do please sing a bit for us.
All day long I'd biddy-biddy-bum if I were a wealthy man. Hey, I wouldn't have to work hard. That's wonderful. Everybody sings that.
That sounds tremendous. Well, please, everybody, rush along to Grange Park. It starts on Thursday and it runs until the 3rd of July. And you can actually find out more at classicfm.com. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Charlotte Green's Culture Club on Classic FM.
That was Goddess of the Woods from the Highgrove Suite by Patrick Hawes. Claire Jones was the harpist, with the Philharmonia Orchestra conducted by the composer. And I'm very pleased to say that Patrick is here again with us, having been with me last year to talk about your album Angel. Now, we're going to talk about what sounds like a mammoth undertaking, your Great War Symphony, which is a symphony that will commemorate the great sacrifice of soldiers at the First World War. Could you tell me a little bit more about it?
Well, first of all, Charlotte, it's great to be here again. And I'm very happy to talk to you about the Great War Symphony. It's a symphony in four movements for large orchestra and choir. And I think at this stage, two soloists as well, a soprano and a tenor. And each movement of the symphony will depict 1 year of the war. So the first movement will be 1914 to 15, second movement 15 to 16, and so on. And we're hoping that it will all culminate in a huge premiere at the time of the armistice in 2018 in a large venue. Dare I suggest the Albert Hall? That's what we're hoping for.
That would be superb.
Wouldn't it just? Yeah. Yes. So it's still very much a work in progress, and certainly the largest work I've written to date. What is important, though, is that this symphony aims to include communities, choirs, performers from the country, from all over the British Isles. We want eight sections of the symphony to be pre-recorded and beamed into the large venue.
I see.
And be played at the same time, obviously, as the live orchestra and choir. And in doing that, we're hoping to outreach to the nation and help them to express the emotions that they feel in connection with this great centenary. And in doing this, we're thrilled to have the support and partnership of Remember World War One, which is a government-based organisation with the real aim, the sole aim almost, of reaching out, of getting people in the country not only to remember, but to find new ways of expressing that remembrance.
Well, Patrick, I'm particularly excited because we're about to hear for the first time an extract from your Great War Symphony. It's Christian Soldiers, and it's very simple, isn't it, and understated, but I think all the more effective because of that.
Yes, I think it is understated. I wrote it originally for a company called Audio Network, who record music for media usage, really, and they record to the highest level. This was with the English Session Orchestra in Abbey Road.
Yes.
And as we recorded it, everybody listening thought it had a life beyond the television screen or the film screen. And it seemed to speak to everybody in the room. And actually, this is one of the seeds out of which the Great War Symphony has grown. It's based on the famous hymn tune, Onward Christian Soldiers, by Arthur Sullivan, which he wrote in 1871. And the point is, this hymn tune would have been very much in the psyche of all those who were fighting on the front, and just as much so all those praying, hoping, fearing, loving at home.
And let's hear it now. That was Christian Soldiers, an extract from the Great War Symphony by Patrick Hawes. The English Session Orchestra was conducted by the composer. Patrick, you were talking about how each movement reflects a different year of the war. I think the third movement focuses on the horror of the Somme. And you've also used some very strong emotive texts, including work by Wilfred Owen. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, absolutely. The texts are paramount in importance to the whole work, as you can imagine, because they're almost like the kind of the hanger that I hang the music on. And I've spent a lot of time talking to people, researching the text that I'm going to set. I've used poetry by Owen, absolutely. But I've also found poems by lesser known poets. There's one poem which has moved me so much, and I feel it has inspired me to write probably my best piece of music ever. And it's by somebody called Sidney Oswald, who was a major in the King's Royal Rifle Corps. Not at all well known.
No.
And it's called The Dead Soldier. I can't read it all to you, but the last verse, "Thy tender words remain stored in my heart. And though I may not see thy peerless form nor hear thy voice again, the memory lives of what thou wast to me. We knew great love, we have not lived in vain." And I love this because it isn't a well-known poem, but it's right at the heart of the emotion of the war.
Patrick, I'd really like you to come back in succeeding years and tell me how you're getting on with this. And I'd certainly like to hear it at, let's hope, at the Royal Albert Hall in 2018. But I'd like to move on to talk about landscape, because I know landscape is very important to you. You live near the Norfolk Broads. How does landscape inspire your work?
Well, landscape is one of the most important things. One's life to date, of course, is an important inspiration. The people you've met, the relationships you've had. My Christianity is a vital influence in my life. But the other is one's surroundings, particularly natural surroundings. And I chose 10 years ago now, actually, I'm just coming up to the 10th anniversary of moving to Norfolk. I chose to live in Norfolk. It was a county that I knew as a child when we used to go on holidays there. People can say very easily Norfolk has big skies and all the rest of it, but it's so true. This kind of firmament, all-embracing firmament, and the different changing lights, of course that's bound to affect an artist, whether you're a composer, a sculptor, a painter. And I also love the fact I'm very near to water. I actually live in the middle of the Norfolk Broads, but only a few miles from the sea. And I'm aware of this constant ebb and flow of energy. Yeah. And it kind of stops you becoming blocked. It really does. I never, dare I say, touch wood, I never suffer from composer's block. And I'm sure that is partly to do with the beautiful, beautiful surroundings in which I live.
Patrick, this has been fascinating. Again, thank you very much for coming in. And we certainly hope to see you again in subsequent years to talk about the Great War Symphony. I should just add that Christian Soldiers is now available to download for free at classicfm.com, and the sheet music is also available for free. That's right, isn't it?
It is, yes. I've done various arrangements of it. I've also done a version for choir and organ, because I think it would make a lovely anthem, and a version for brass band. And I'm also about to do versions for piano and voice, and for piano and solo instrument.
Patrick, thank you very much indeed. And before you go, we're actually going to hear another of your compositions. And this is the very popular Quanta Qualia. Thanks again for downloading this podcast. I hope you'll join me in the Culture Club next Sunday from 3, when my guests include the conductor, Marin Alsop.